Use the chair. That's wonderful. Well, just a little bit of an interruption there, but things are sorting their way out. Bev seems like she's okay. Bev is okay. Okay, so we move forward. Well, grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're delighted that you're here with us at Cooks Memorial Presbyterian Church, where we seek to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, I have several announcements to make before we get started. First of all, Charles Matthews has served Cooks Memorial Presbyterian Church for 12 years with great distinction. As Charles's time with us comes to an end, we'd like to send him off with our best. To that end, we'll be collecting a love offering from Charles to be given to him next Sunday. And so if you'd like to leave money for that, please put it in the memo line and then place it with the regular offering. Please note that the church office will be closed tomorrow, September 5th, in observance of Labor Day. We've got a busy week coming up. All ladies at Cooks are invited to our Presbyterian Women kickoff breakfast this coming Saturday, September 10th at 9 a.m. in the Fellowship Hall. Please see PD Self to sign up. Don't forget that we have Sunday school classes each week to study God's Word. Rally Day kickoff for our Sunday school is next Sunday, September the 9th at 9 a.m. in the Fellowship Hall. There will be donuts, so you'll want to be there for that, as well as the joy that comes when you study the Word of our Lord God. It's awesome. So please be there for that. That's Rally Day next Sunday at 9 a.m. Please be in prayer for the Cooks mission team to Kajiado Children's Home in Kenya. That's coming up on Thursday, September 15th through the 27th. The new Daily Bread devotionals are in. Our Bible study will begin in October, the first three Sundays of every month at 6 p.m. So that means we're just a little bit away from our Sunday night Bible study starting. Save this date for the Cooks Fall Festival. It's Saturday, October 29th. Please make sure to tell your friends and neighbors and watch for more details. The Missions Committee would like you to know of several things that are going on. Coming up in two Sundays, September 18th, after worship, we'll be making sandwiches for A Roof Above, which is formerly Urban Ministries. Then on Sunday, October 16th, we're going to have a crop walk local here at Cook's, so make sure you start getting signed up for that. And then we've got Operation North State, a collection for shut-ins and U.S. veterans is coming up, and then Operation Christmas Child beyond that. The beautiful flowers in the sanctuary this morning are giving in loving memory of Carolyn Young by Eddie, Denise, Betsy, and family. These are the announcements that I have for the church today. Are there any that need to be brought before the congregation at this time? That being the case, let us open our hearts and minds to the worship of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Look around. What wonders we behold.
We see others gathered here to worship and praise God.
Each person here is unique, a beloved creation of God.
Each person here is given special gifts and talents by God.
Come, let us worship God who has blessed us so mightily.
Let us praise God with our whole hearts, minds, and spirits. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, from the very beginning of your creation, you breathed your love into all that you have made. You gave us the breath of life and asked us to be good stewards of that all creation. You placed your trust and love in us. Help us to turn again with joyful hearts to you, placing our trust in all that you have done for us. Let us be a blessing for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we make these prayers. Amen. I invite now those of you who are able to rise now and sing with me our first hymn, number 396. If we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But that if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and remove us from any and all unrighteousness. So friends, in humility and in faith, let us join our voices together, confessing our sins corporately before God, leaving a moment to confess silently inward before receiving the grace that we so richly need. Join me. Almighty and merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is nothing good in us. O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare those, O God, who confess their faults. Restore those who are penitent, according to your promises declared unto men in Christ Jesus our Lord. Grant that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of his name. Amen. By the waters of our baptism, I invite you to hear the good news as given to us in the canonical scriptures. Friends, there is good news in the knowledge that Jesus Christ has died and has done everything necessary for us and for our salvation. In his grace, we rest supremely and we rest eternally. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven forever and ever. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Now let us confess what it is we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed, found in this morning's bulletin as well. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated and join me in the singing of our second hymn, number 442.
Because thy cross.
this point, we'd like to invite the children down for a time that's especially for them. Hey, Noelle. How's it going? You ready for school? I know. Here comes the little guy. What? Oh. Okay. So you put this down?
Yeah.
All right. I've only been here a couple of years, you know.
Yeah, only a couple of years.
I'm learning, right? I'm learning. Well, guys, how many of y'all have, I know not you, how many of y'all have headed back to school? Have you gone back to school? Now, what was that like? Oh, okay, yeah. Thank you. What was that like on the first day when you had to walk into school? It was scary. Why was it scary? Oh, it was technically a new school. Was it that way for you, Lillian? I know that it was not the same building. But there you go. So anyway, it was a new experience for our children, the kids to go. Well, today we're going to talk about something that was just as scary. You see, there was a man named Nicodemus, and he was really interested in what Jesus had to say. And so he, under the cover of night, came to Jesus, and Jesus explained some things to him. But what we're going to talk about today is trust, how trust is an aspect of faith. If somebody asks you to do something and they say, "Do you trust me?" and you don't do it, even if you say you trust them, do you? No. Well, it's like that with faith. When we say we trust God, we also have to remember that the Bible teaches us that faith without works is dead. And so for us to show our faith, sometimes we need to trust God and move forward with the next right thing. That's exactly what Nicodemus is going to do. The man that we meet today in our reading from the Gospel of John is going to appear toward the end of Jesus' lifetime. And when he appears again, it's going to be clear that he's accepted and embraced these lessons of faith and what it means to trust in Jesus Christ. Do we trust in Jesus Christ? Because when we do, then we can say that we absolutely have the faith that God has given us. So let us go to the Lord now in prayer. Dear God, thank you for our faith. Thank you for that wonderful gift that allows you to trust Jesus. Help me trust Jesus today, God, in all that I do and say. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. We come now into a time of reading and proclaiming of the Word of God, and as always, we begin with a prayer for illumination. Heavenly Father, illuminate for us this reading and proclaiming of your Word such that it enlivens us body, mind, and spirit. Enable us to see with your sight, enable us to hear with your ears, so that we might know your will in this world and be given the strength by the power of your Holy Spirit to do it. Enable us in this time of reading and proclaiming of your word to be reclaimed by your word, to find ourselves to be cleansed and made thoroughly white again by your word power. We make these prayers to you in the strong name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
This morning's Old Testament scripture reading is Psalms 139. It's on page 618 of the Pew Bible. Okay. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know me when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. Okay. For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, and I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in its secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me. When as yet there was none of them, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, there are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. Oh, that you would stay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? Do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
As my children's sermon probably indicated, I made a change to what we were doing from the time that the bulletins were printed until this morning. The reason for that was I had forgotten about the wonderful Labor Day holiday, and I wanted to begin something on Rally Day, and I got the dates confused, and before I realized it, the bulletins had been printed. So the good news is you're getting a sneak peek of next week's bulletin and next week's sermon, and hopefully that'll have some value. But in the meantime, what I plan to do is preach this week, a little bit about faith as trust, as a way of looking and thinking about faith as a what is it, defining it. Faith is, as we know, is an easy word to bandy about. I have faith, you should have faith, keep the faith. But oftentimes it becomes a little bit more sticky wicket to try to define it and to try to think about what it is. And so that's what the intent of today will be to do. And we begin with a reading. I'm going to be reading from the third chapter of the Gospel of John. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 17. I invite you now to hear the word of our Lord. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As it relates to the Christian belief, faith is a glorious word, one with fantastic significance. After healing people, Jesus Christ goes and says, "Go, your faith has made you well." St. Paul will tell us in Ephesians, "For by grace you have been saved by faith, and this is not your own doing, so that no one may boast." Again, in Galatians, Paul tells us, "We know that a person is justified not by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ." All told, the word faith appears 250 times in our New Testament. More if you consider the words faithfulness and faithful wouldn't be included in that tabulation. So we know that faith is important, redemptive even. But what is it? If you were to try to define it, what would you say? Would you say it was a feeling, something that you interacted with emotionally? Would you say it was knowledge? Would you say it was a commodity, something that you could trade with others? How would you describe what faith is? It becomes, as I've said, a little bit elusive, especially when we see how important it is. Now, some of us may take a tip from us pastor folks, and when asked what faith is, divert to the one thing that we pastors tend to say a lot of. It's a holy mystery, right? Which is what we say whenever we don't really know the answer to anything concretely. It's a holy mystery. Maybe that's what you would answer, what faith is. We know that it is significant in our New Testament. To begin with, we've got to understand faith entirely as a gift. There is nothing that we bring to the table on faith. Now, we can see it proliferate and grow, but faith is given to us as a gift. And whether it be as tiny as a mustard seed or great enough to move an entire mountain, that's what the scriptures say, regardless of what it is or how it comes to us, it's entirely the gift of God. But unfortunately, just declaring something to be a gift doesn't get us any closer to identifying what it is. I, for example, can get a package on Christmas Day. I can see that I've been given a gift. I can look at the name placard and tell me who's given me that gift. But unless I open the box and look and see what's inside, its contents remain mysterious to me. But in the looking in, we get a better idea of what faith is. And when we get a better idea of what faith is, we're much more able to see it in our lives. Sometimes if we ask where our faith is, it can be and seem as foreign to us a question as any. But when we begin to really understand what faith is, we find it proliferating in our lives. This, for the sake of these sermons, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bunch faith into two or three categories. Faith is trust, faith is knowledge, and faith is confession. And here when I say confession, I don't mean like what we've done, confessing our sins to God. I mean rather proclamation or evangelization. Confession as a means to share the gospel is what I mean. But of all of these three, I think the most easy to connect with is faith as trust. Trust is a word that makes sense to us. Trust is a word that we can completely relate to. And thankfully, what we see in our reading from the Gospel of John this morning is a great act of trust, although it may not seem that way to us in the beginning. In our reading, we meet Nicodemus, who comes to Jesus Christ under cover of nightfall. Nicodemus has seen many things, many wonders that have been performed by Jesus Christ. He knows that this is a man of power, a man after God's own heart, if you will. And yet, Nicodemus comes under the cloak of night. We're bound to wonder why, as he hides his arrival deftly. It makes sense when we realize that Nicodemus was a leader of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were a dominant group, a force, if you will, in Jewish faith at the time. And Nicodemus was one of their leaders. As such, Nicodemus's group would have considered Jesus to be anathema. But in the very moment, he has just enough faith to come and see them. Nicodemus would have had problems coming to Jesus because, as I've said, the people that he associated with would have considered that Jesus to be a real problem. Only more so after, if we remember, the Gospel of John, in which just prior to this revelation to Nicodemus, Jesus Christ upends the money changers in the temple. That's not a very good way to ingratiate yourself to the powers that be, by the way, is by upsetting the apple cart. And yet, this is exactly what Jesus Christ has done. It's at this point in the other Gospels that it's noted that that's when the Pharisees and the Sadducees began to actively plot to kill Jesus. So if you're Nicodemus and you're coming to Jesus Christ, you better be coming by night because your colleagues, the people you associate with, the people who listen to what you say, are all going to think extraordinarily less of you knowing that you've sought out Jesus Christ. But therein comes the trust, because Nicodemus has seen so many things. He's seen water turned to wine. He's seen or heard of the healings, the miraculous healings that Jesus has done. So Nicodemus is willing at this juncture to trust that Jesus Christ is who he's saying he is. And so Nicodemus travels to him under the cloak of night to hide himself from his colleagues, from his friends, from the people he does business with. Because you see, followers of Jesus Christ aren't exactly highly thought of either. In fact, they'll be thought less of by their colleagues for quite some time for dealing with Jesus Christ. So Nicodemus has a lot on the line when he comes to Jesus Christ that night. He really has his entire life and livelihood could be at risk. Even though it's in the dark of night, he sees the wonders that Jesus is doing. He's heard the talk. He must know more about this strange man from Nazareth. If but for a moment, he holds enough trust. I can't help but wonder what those moments were like as Nicodemus laced his sandals up on his midnight voyage, so to speak. I wonder what his internal dialogue would have looked like. Certainly, there would have been the knowledge of what he was up against. You know, when I read the Bible, I can't help but insert my thoughts in sometimes, as dangerous as they may be. And when I read portions of God's call to, like, Abraham, he comes to Abraham in the desert and says, go from Haran to Canaan, an area that he knows nothing of, and I'll be with you. And yet Abram goes. Abraham just goes. But again, we don't hear his internal dialogue. I've got to believe that as he was lacing up his sandals, that there may have been thoughts of doubt in his mind as well. We certainly know that when Moses is called by God, he has objections, he has concerns, he has doubts, and he articulates them to God directly. And for that reason, we know that there are sometimes doubts. Just because we have doubts is not to the exclusion of our faith. In fact, if anything, faith is the power that sees our doubts overcome on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. It worked that way for Nicodemus. He goes, chats with Jesus. Sure, he doesn't get it quite all in the moment, but we do know that in a good way, Nicodemus has received something from Jesus profound, deeply changing, life-altering. We know this because Nicodemus shows up again, only it's in the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John. This time, Nicodemus isn't covered by the cloak of night. He is instead completely and openly out for Jesus. In fact, he's carrying a great deal of ointments to perfume Jesus' body. He has declared himself to be a friend of Jesus. And it reminds us that trust, sometimes it starts as small as a mustard seed, but just like that mustard seed we talked about a few weeks ago, it grows and grows and grows and grows until even the birds of the air take shelter in it, is the language from the parable, if we'll remember it. Although our faith be small at first, the God that put it there is still working, still strengthening our trust in him by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to put forward just two examples of things that sort of look like trust, but aren't. Let's say you have a friend that comes to you and say, hey, I need you to trust me. Give me $100 right now. Now, let's just say for the sake of argument that this isn't just a friend, but it's a lifelong acquaintance that you've known through the years. Not only have you seen him or her be a pillar in society, you've also received his or her word on numerous occasions and always found it to come true, that the person is a man or woman of their word. Now, if the person says, give me $100 if you trust me, and you don't give them the $100, can you honestly say that you trust them? No. That's the point and nature of faith in our lives. Faith is that trust that we have in God, and though it starts small at first, it grows over time by the power of the Holy Spirit. The things that Nicodemus was fearful of in his first encounter with Jesus had long since become minor in his spiritually maturing self as he comes to know more about Jesus. Same is true for us as well. When we trust Jesus just a little, we wouldn't be surprised to find ourselves trusting God more and more and more. That's the way the Holy Spirit works. But we can't ever simply deny the faith. Faith without works is dead. And so, and to that end, we realize that the trust that we have is the trust that moves us into action. The other kind of false example of trust is when you try to condition it. This would be like, God, you know, I'm going to do these amazing things, and when I do, you're going to give me X. There's a great play about that. It's called Amadeus. It's about a rival to Mozart that was a neat movie about envy and the kind of the things that it can do. But in that, what we see and what we remember is that faith is a trust in God that doesn't define or determine the outcome. When we have that kind of trust that we're just only going to do what God does as long as we get what we want, we really are making God into little more than a genie in the bottle. And that's certainly no God at all. Faith is the power and commodity that moves us to do a number of things, and it's a trust in God. It's a trust in God that fundamentally believes that God is true to His Word. You see, unlike us, God doesn't lie, can't lie. And so when God makes promises to us, we can trust them because we know they will come to pass. We trust God because God isn't constrained by circumstance. There's no unforeseen circumstance, nothing that's going to waylay God's plan to make see what happens come to pass according to His will. There is nothing that stops Him, no unforeseen circumstance. Why do we trust God? We trust God because God isn't restrained by time. God can make us promises that extend beyond our mortal lives. He can say to us, "You will have eternity in heaven with me," because God is the only eternal creature in the world. What it all boils down to is this: in all of time and space and all of the universe, there is only one thing really worthy of our trust. And thank goodness it isn't a thing. It's a person. It's Jesus Christ. And through our trust in Him, we experience the fireworks of our faith. Fears are quelled, anxieties are calmed, peace, joy, and love reign supremely in our hearts. Why? Because in His gift of faith to us, we're able to trust that God is and is doing everything He's promised. And what He's promised is to love us and to love us eternally. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer. We pray because God asks us to. We pray because there are things that weigh upon our hearts that we know we are powerless over, and that there is one who does have all power, and that one is God. And for that reason, we reach up to God, praying to Him, bringing Him the thoughts and prayers that are on our hearts and minds. We pray now. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, in the quiet of the morning, You seek us out. By the power of the Holy Spirit, You came to us in our beds, awoken us, and led us here so that we could encounter You in a special way in and through the worship of Jesus Christ. Thank You, God, for this wonderful blessing, for this mystery of faith that You've shared with us that leads us here. We rejoice, knowing and trusting in Your grace, Your providence, and Your love. Heavenly Father, we look out and we still see a world broken by sin, and with it all the concomitant illnesses therein. We see sickness, we see sadness, we see violence, we see dishonesty, disingenuity, and we see death, O Lord. And it can depress us, Father God, if we're honest. And yet, even through the muck and the mire of this world, we see Your hand frantically and furiously at work to heal us. To heal us as individuals and to heal us as Your people. So, gracious God, we lean into Your Holy Spirit today, asking that You would continue to heal us from our sin sickness, just as You would continue to draw us into faithful communities that worship the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we might have an impact on this world broken by sin. Heavenly Father, we pray for all of those who are sick or grieving or lonely or anxious. We think especially today of Pat Hager, of Mike Stanford. We think of Jill Griffin and Jack McClure, Don Monteith. We think of Sharon and Steve Gilmore. We think of former members Pete Mitchell and Debbie White. We think of all the people that are on our prayer list. Heavenly Father, we pray for all the people that are on our internal prayer list, knowing that You know what they need and are working to meet it. Gracious God, all things are Yours, and to You alone belong all honor and power and glory. It's in your name we make these prayers, concluding them with the prayer your Son taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Having heard the word read and proclaimed, let us turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings, remembering that God loves a cheerful giver.
Written by Ken Miedema, who was blind from birth, but he's written several wonderful pieces of music, and this is his. He's still living, and this is the chorus, and if you would allow me to do the verses, then you can come in on the chorus. Let's try that chorus together. The choir will be leading you also. Lord, listen to your children pray. Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children pray. Send us love, send us power, send us grace. Something's gonna happen like the world has never known. When the people of the Lord get down to pray, well, the doors are gonna swing open and the walls come tumbling down. When the people of the Lord get down to pray, everybody, Lord, listen to your children pray. Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children pray. Send us love, send us power, send us grace. You're gonna know it when the Lord stretches out his hand. When the people of the Lord get down to pray, there's gonna be a brand new song of victory in his land. When the people of the Lord get down to pray, everybody, Lord, listen to your children pray. Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children pray. Send us love, send us power, send us grace. Lord, listen to your children pray. Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us power, send us
Gracious God, we thank you and rejoice over all the many things you share with us, from the sustenance that we eat to the shelter over our heads. We are a grateful people. Now, Father God, as we return a portion of those gifts back to you, hearing your call, we pray that you would sanctify this offering, using it to your glory and to your purposes in this, your world. We make these prayers to you in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Amen. As we trust God more and more, we'll find that our faith is, in fact, expanding. Ways to make your faith expand are simple. They are dedication to the Word, service and mission, as well as an ongoing desire to know more about Jesus Christ. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Gloria in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises, standing on the promises of God my Savior.
Have a great day. My goodness, the lyre leaves are here.